Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the Old Testament book of Numbers. Now to Pastor Chris.
Number 7 today on Through the Word, and welcome to the second longest chapter in the Bible. What topic could be worth so many words? Let's dig into verse 1 to find out. When Moses finished setting up the tabernacle, he anointed and consecrated it, and all its furnishings. He also anointed and consecrated the altar and all its utensils. Then the leaders of Israel, the heads of the families, who were the tribal leaders in charge of those who were counted, made offerings. So chapter 7 is all about offerings, gifts that the Israelites bring to God. For the most part, it reads like a gift list after a wedding, a big record of what was given and who gave it. The text is a little dry, but the idea is a compelling one. Anthropologists tell us that gift-giving is a basic human expression of friendship in every culture and history. But what does it mean to give gifts to God, presents for the creator of the universe? After all, what do you give the God who literally has everything? Yet the amazing truth is that God still loves to receive gifts from us. He doesn't need any gift, but he loves a cheerful giver. When it comes to receiving gifts, I think of God like a good dad. He doesn't need the gifts, but they still mean a ton. I have 3 kids. A few years back on Father's Day, my kids gave me a pair of plastic green cereal bowls and a box of Shrek cereal. Did I need it? No. I have plenty of cereal and plenty of bowls. And the cereal was Shrek, some kind of funny green crunchies. Did I love it? Yes, my favorite bowl. The kids couldn't wait to have cereal with Daddy, and I couldn't wait either. Now, gifts are often given on special occasions, and the occasion in verse 1 is the completion of setting up the new tabernacle. The tabernacle was the place that God would meet with the Israelites. God dwelt there in the midst of the camp. So the offerings in this chapter were the people's response to the priceless gift of God's presence. God, thank you for being here. This is for you. So let's dig in and see what the people gave in verse 3. They brought as their gifts before the Lord 6 covered carts and 12 oxen, an ox from each leader and a cart from every 2. These they presented before the tabernacle. The Lord said to Moses, "Accept these from them, that they may be used in the work at the tent of meeting. Give them to the Levites, as each man's work requires." So the first gift was a set of carts and oxen, and God quickly passed on those gifts. Now, regifting is often frowned on in our society, but God loves regifting. The people gave the gifts to God, and God gave them to his servants, the Levites. Apparently, God was not in particular need of ox carts, but he did happen to have some servants who were. The Levites had the task of pulling all the contents of the tabernacle across the desert, so God regifted the ox carts to them. It's a great system. You give to God, and God regifts to his servants. And his servants use the gift to serve God and serve you. It all comes around, and everyone is connected and blessed. The whole system is captured beautifully in 2 Corinthians 9, and it all results in many thanks to God, who gives everything in the first place. As Paul says there, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Now there is one danger in this system. It is open to abuse. A preacher can get rich by convincing you that giving to him is like giving to God. 1 Timothy 6 warns against any preacher who uses godliness to get rich. Don't give to them. They are not God's servants if their ultimate goal is serving themselves. Give to God. Support ministries that are led by servants who themselves are wholly given to God. The Levites belonged to God, his possession. When the Israelites provided for their work, it was providing for God's work. Now in verses 6 through 9, Moses distributes the 6 ox carts between the 3 Levite clans, 2 for Gershon, 4 for Merari, and none for Kohath. Wait a second, 2, 4, and none? Dad, Timmy got more ox carts than I did. Sounds unfair, but wait. In verse 4, God said, "Give them to the Levites as each man's work requires." And so Moses did. The ox carts were given to match the workload. Merari carried heavy frames, 4 carts. Gershon carried tent coverings, 2 carts. Kohath carried the holy things, and they must be hand-carried, no carts. So what does that mean to you? God provides for your needs according to your calling. He will provide the means and the skills to live out the calling that He gave you. So stop comparing ox carts and stop comparing talents and callings and get to work on the assignment He gave you. God doesn't give more credit for more talent. All that matters is faithfulness to your calling. Then in verse 10, the leaders of each tribe begin to present their offerings to God before the altar, one tribe per day. This brings us to the heart of the chapter and the reason it's so long. The gifts for day 1 begin in verse 12. The one who brought his offering on the first day was Nashon, son of Amminadab, of the tribe of Judah. His offering was one silver plate weighing 130 shekels, and one silver sprinkling bowl weighing 70 shekels, both according to the sanctuary shekel, each filled with the finest flour mixed with olive oil as a grain offering. One gold dish weighing 10 shekels filled with incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb a year old for a burnt offering, one male goat for a sin offering, and two oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs a year old to be sacrificed as a fellowship offering. This was the offering of Nashon, son of Amminadab. And so that was the offering from the tribe of Judah. As you read on, you'll notice pretty quickly that the next 11 offerings are identical. And that may lead you to wonder why this chapter is so long. God could have just told Moses to write down, and the rest of the guys pretty much gave the same thing as the first guy. Let's move on. Instead, God fills the chapter with the same gift list from each tribe, repeated 12 times. At some point, you're bound to wonder, what do these gifts mean to me? But that's not the point. The gifts aren't for you, they're for God. The right question to ask is, what do these gifts mean to God? After all, they were for Him. Perhaps God recorded each and every gift here to show us the way in which He treasures our gifts and counts every one. Hebrews 6:10 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. See, God remembers every gift you give Him, every time you help somebody out, every minute of work and every act of love. None forgotten. Every last one is recorded carefully. Now, speaking of forgotten, did we miss anyone in our long list of gifts and givers? There were all 12 tribes, each giving the same list of items. All 12 tribes are listed. Except, wait a minute, didn't we add a tribe in chapter 1? There are 13 tribes altogether, and the Levites are missing from this list. Why would every tribe be listed but one? Why didn't Levi give a gift to God? Ah, but they did. We'll find out what they gave in chapter 8. For now, read Numbers 7 today. And yes, you have my permission to skim a little bit as the gifts get repetitive. But as you read, consider, what do you give to God? How are you serving His servants? And what does your gift mean to Him?
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.